Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf yud tes. So we're going to pick up where they left off yesterday, five lines down. Mace lo mace. So we discussed the machlokas in the Mishnah that if the Kohen Gadol had a relative of his that died, so the Gemara says as follows, Tanur Rabbanan. So there was a machlokas about whether simply he had to stay a ways back from, in the Mishnah it discussed the fact that he had to stay a ways back from the mace. And then you had an opinion, I think it was Rabbi Yehuda, who said no, he darshan the pasuk umen amigdash lo yetze, that the Kohen Gadol should not leave the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he would not go after. Even if he stood a ways back, he would not go after the mace. So the Gemara says, "Tanur Rabbanan Migdash lo yetze mahin." So in other words, the question is, according to the opinion, who I think was Rabbi Meir, that said that he is allowed to go out of the Beis HaMikdash, what does he do with that pasuk? He says, "He darshins lo yetze mahin." He shouldn't go out together with them. Avo yotze hu acharehen. But he can go out after them, meaning the way we said, Ketzad, how is that? Hey nechsin vuhu nigla. When they're covered, he's revealed. Hey niglin vuhu nechser. When they're revealed, he's covered, meaning that at any given time, they're out of his line of sight. So that was the mechanism there. So the Mishnah said, V'yotze ad Pesach, he goes till the gate of the city, because once you hit the gate of the city, there's no way to be out of sight. And again, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Men amigdash lo yetze." So the Gemara says, "Shapir kamer Rabbi Meir." I'm sorry, "Shapir kamer Rabbi Yehuda." Rabbi Yehuda was saying a good thing. Rabbi Yehuda was saying that the pasuk says, "Men amigdash lo yetze." So I'm looking at Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir would tell you, "Ihachi, if you're right, if you're going to darshan that pasuk to be taken literally, if you're going to darshan that pasuk to be taken literally, lebeso namilo." Then he wouldn't be able to leave. In other words, if you're saying that the pasuk says when Amigdash Yetzei that he can't go out from the Beis Hamikdash, you should understand that to mean that the Kohen Gadol is a captive in the Beis Hamikdash; he can never leave. But yet we know that that's not true. He would go home; he would lead a regular life. So you can't take the pasuk so literally. Rabbi Meir would say Elahachi Kamer, but this is what it says. And before we said that he said that you shouldn't go together with them. Now he darshans the pasuk a little differently. Min hamikdash lo yetze, mikdushaso lo yetze. In other words, the pasuk says hamikdash is the shortish of kedusha. He's saying that he should not go out from his kedusha. How do we do that? Vekivan de islay hekera, since he has some heker, some distinction, or something that reminds him, meaning the fact that he is standing back and always out of their sight. When they turn the corner, he goes to the next corner, etc. Because there's this heker lo asi leminga, he won't come to touch the mace, because again, that's everything we're worried about, is that if perhaps that he will become tame. Rabbi Yehuda. So what about Rabbi Yehuda? Why doesn't he darshan the pasuk that way? Say mikdushasa leyetze. Why does he understand it? What's he worried about? So the Gemara says, agav marare dilma mikri v'asi v'naga. He says because of marare, meaning Rashi says mariris libo, because he's bitter. His heart is bitter, meaning he's in mourning, and therefore maybe it'll happen that he'll end up touching the mace and he'll become tame, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda understands that min hamikdash layetze is saying that he should not leave the Beis HaMikdash. Now, how do we know that that whole thing is about, a Kohen Gadol going after a mace? So Rashi points out, because this pasuk, min hamikdash layetze, right before it, the pasuk says, la'avav v'le'ima lo yutame. So both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda understand that this pasuk of min hamikdash lo yetze is going specifically on this case of a kohen who's an onen who has a mace. Okay, kishu menachem. So we say as follows: Tanur Rabbanan kishu over b'shura l'nachem es acherim. So when the kohen gadol would go in the shura, and we're going to discuss exactly what the shura is in a moment. But when the kohen gadol would pass in the shura l'nachem es acherim, to console others, meaning he was paying, he was being menachem de avelim, segan umashuach she'aver b'yemino, the skan the skan and the mashuach she'aver would be on his right. So a skan is a skan kohen was the one who he was the standby kohen gadol. That if something would happen to the kohen gadol, he would become the kohen gadol. Mashuach she'aver. What's a mashuach she'aver? Rashi explains mashuach she'aver is. Rashi says a few lines down in the thin lines. Kigon she'irabo psul be kohen gadol. Let's say the kohen gadol got some kind of psul. He got he became tamei. He got a mum or something. Uminu acher tachtav. They would appoint a different person under him. Ukishaaver psulo sharishon. When the kohen gadol would get over his psul, whatever it was, chozer la'avodaso. So then the first kohen gadol would come back. So basically, this guy was the stand-in for the kohen gadol. Now once he was the stand-in for the kohen gadol, he has a kedusha of a kohen gadol. Usheni karele mashuach shaaver. So then what happens is the main kohen gadol gets better. So the guy who took over for him becomes called the Mashuach Sha'avar. So he got the oil that they used to use to appoint the Kohen Gadol. So he was so he held this position of Mashuach Sha'avar. So we're saying the Skan, who is the standby Kohen, and the Mashuach Sha'avar would stand to the right of the Kohen Gadol. The Rosh Beis Av Va'avelim, the Rosh Beis Av. So Beis Av we know is within the Mishmaros. So there was a different Mishmar would cover every week. There are 24 mishmaros, so throughout the year they would cover the kohanim. Within the mishmar, there was a beis av, so divided by day. So each beis av had someone who was the head. So the rosh beis av of the whichever family of the kahuna was serving that day, this would be the head of that family. So the rosh beis av va'avelim and the avelim themselves, the cholam and the entire nation. Mismola would be to the left of the Kohen Gadol. So that's what happens when he would go be Menachem Avol. Ikeshehu omed b'shura u'misnache me'acherim. What about when the Kohen Gadol was the Avol? When he would stand in the line and others would be Menachem him, would come to offer Nichum Avelim. So then how would they stand? Skan mi'yemino. The skan would be to his right. V'rosh beisav v'cholam mismolo. And the Rosh Beis Av, the head of that day's kuhuna, and the entire nation would stand to his left, and they would be menachem him. So what do you see? You see that in the first case, when it's talking about him going to be menachem of all other people, it discusses not just the skan, but it talks about the Mashuach Sha'avar, this temporary Kohen Gadol. But when it says that they're going to be menachem of all the Kohen Gadol, it does not reference him. So the Gemara says, Avo Mashuach Sha'avar lo asi gabei. But the Mashuach Sha'avar doesn't come to be Menachem Avol, the Kohen Gadol, because you see he's not mentioned. So the Gemara says, "My time, why not?" So you say, "Chol she'daite," because the Kohen Gadol will feel bad. Savar kachadi bi, because he'll think that this guy, the Mashuach Sha'avar, because think about what happened is now when he sees this is a person who's kind of his competitor in a certain sense. In other words, he's his replacement. So, you know, he feels bad when he sees him, and you don't want to make him feel bad when he's here as an oval. This is, I don't think there's time today, but the very interesting shilas that they bring up about whether, halacha l'maisa, if there's someone who you hate, whether you should go be menachem oval him or be mevaker chol him. So the Ramah paskins that you don't. The Shach says depends on the circumstances. Chassam Sofer and others discuss a distinction between, because there's a Gemara in Brachos and Maril really is, they all discuss a Maril, including the Maril, Ramah discusses the Maril. Discusses the Gemara in Brachos, which says that when someone is sick, it's good that everyone who loves him should come see him. Because they're gonna, they'll be mevaker chola, and that helps. And then everyone who hates him should come see him, because this way Akash Baruch will have rachamim on him. So you see that you should go when someone who hates a person should go be menachem avol him. Should go be mevaker chola him. So the Chassam Sofer and others distinguish. They say that there's a difference between going to visit an avol versus going to visit someone who's a biker cholim. Why? Because when you go visit an avol, you're not bringing the dead person back, so there's nothing to be accomplished. Versus when a person goes to be mevaker chola, he goes to visit someone who's sick. So there's this idea that because he hates him, that Kosh Baruch will be merachim on him, and then the chola will get better. So there's a purpose to someone who hates another to go visit him when he's sick, but that same purpose does not apply when he's an aval. So it's a longer issue, a lot of discussion, but that's practical halacha l'maisa. Okay, Amar Rav Papa, Shema mina mehamas nisa tlas. We learn from this braisa three things. Shema mina, we learn first of all, hainu skan, hainu memuna. So in our Mishnah, it discussed the fact that there is, that the skan would be to his right and everyone else would be to his left. In the Mishnah, it refers to him as the memuna. In this braisa, it refers to him as the skan. So we learn that the skan and the memuna were one and the same person. There's two different titles for the same role. Ushma mina, what else do we learn? Avelim omdim v'cholam overin. We learn that the Avelim stand and everyone would pass by them. How do you know that? Because in the Braisa, when it says, Kishu over b'shura l'nachim ezachirim, when he's going to be Menachem Avel others, he would pass by them. And yet, when it says, Kishu omed b'shura, when he is the Avel, he stands in the Shura. So what do you see? You see that the Avel himself stands and the people pass by. So that's the second thing we see. Ushma mina, we learn Avelim l'smol, Avelim l'smol hamenachemin hein omden. That the Avelim would stand to the left of the people who are coming to be Menachem Avel them. So basically, people would walk along the Avelim would be there to the left. How do you see that? Because it says that the Meshuach Sha'avar and the Skan were to his right. And it says the Avelim, the Cholam, and the Rosh Beis Av were to the left. So you see from the Kohen Gadol that the proper placement is for people to stand to the left when they are the Avelim. Tanur Rabbanan, Barishana Hayu Avelim Omdim V'Cholam Ovrim. So originally the way it was is what we just mentioned that we learned from the Braisa, is the idea that the Avelim would stand still and all the people would pass by them and offer them Nichum Avelim. But what happened? V'hayu beis mishpachus b'Yerushalayim is tagur zubazu. There were two families in Yerushalayim who would fight with one another. They were in a fight. Zosomeres aniyoveres tchila. V'zosomeres aniyoveres tchila. They didn't have respect for one another, so they each wanted to go first. And so therefore hiskinu, and that's it was a genai that they're sitting here fighting about this. So hiskinu, therefore they made a takana she'am omdim va'avelim ovrim. So rather they switched it that everyone should just stand still and the avelim will walk by and people will say it. And in fact, that's typically how it's done nowadays. Okay. Amar Rami Bar Abba says hichsi Rav Yossi es adavar liyoshno b'tzipuri. Rav Yossi switched things to the way they used to be when he paskin in tzipuri. She'ihu avelim omdim v'cholam ovrim. They said, I guess, he figured it happened once, there were two fighting families, we don't have to change everything, so he switched it to be where the Avelim stand still and people pass by them to offer them Nichum Avelim. A couple more things Rami Bar Abba says about Rabbi Yossi paskening in Tzipori. Rami Bar Abba, hiskin Rabbi Yossi b'Tzipori, shalote isha mehalachas b'shuk b'no achreo, that a woman should not walk in the shuk with her son behind her, mishum ma'aseh shahaya, because of the ma'aseh shahaya, but rather what should she do? She should have her son in front of her. What's the ma'aseh shahaya? Rashi says, sheganvuhu pritzim me'achareha, that some pritzim, coarse people, took to her son from behind her, v'nasnu b'bayis, and they put him away in a house on the side, u'kishachazra, she turned back, v'le'reisuhu, she didn't see her son, hischilo to'ekes u'bochez, she started yelling and crying, ba'echad mehem, one of these pritzim who had grabbed the son came and said, V'amr bo'u ve'erenu l'lecha. I'll show you where your son is. V'nichnasa achrav. She went after him into the house to go recover her son. V'inu osa. They raped her. They violated her. And so because of that story, they say a woman should not walk with her son behind her, but rather she should have her son in front of her so that she could see what's going on. V'amr rama baraba hiskan Rav Yossi b'Tzipuri. Rami Bar Abba says that Rabbi Yossi was Mesakin in Tzipori, Shehei Nashim Mesapros Beveis Akise Mishum Yichud. That women should speak when they're in the Beis Akise. Rashi explains we're talking about in the field, that they used to have a spotter pot or whatever it is like that they would have in the field. And that women were inside, they should speak to each other. Why? Because if a man was coming, he should know that women are inside. And Rashi points out, because the halacha is that a man cannot have yichud, and this is in the field in particular, even with two men. I guess maybe a woman should talk to herself if she's in there alone. The idea is that a man should know that there are women in there. He shouldn't go inside. Okay. Amar Rav Menashe bar Us, she'iles es Rav Yoshia Rabba bebeis omen dehutzol. Rav Menashe bar Us says he asked Rav Yoshia Rabba when he was in the cemetery in Hutzol. Va'amarli, and he said to me, ein shura p'chusa me'asar b'nei adam, that a shura, we've been talking about this, when they line up, either they line up and pass the Avelim or the Avelim pass them, but whatever it is, the shura that we're talking about should not be less than 10 people. The ain Avelim in a minyan, and the Avelim don't count, meaning we need to have 10 people exclusive of the Avelim. And now, the way Rashi understands this next phrase is a va'od. That this is a new phrase. He says, "Bein shavelim omden v'chalam overim, bein shavelim overim v'chalam omden." It doesn't really matter whether the avelim stand still and the people pass them, or the avelim pass and the people stand still. Again, we saw before. Originally, the avelim stood, and then they switched to the avelim moved. And he's saying it doesn't really matter which one you do. Either one is fine. Okay, we're at the medium lines, the third line. So we said that when they would be menachim him, they would say, Anu kaparasva, that we're your kapara, and he would answer back. But the question they have now is, Ibailuhu ki menachim hu achrini hechi amrluhu. So he says that discusses what they would say when the Kohen Gadol was the Avol. But what would the Kohen Gadol say when he was menachim Avol others? Tashma, come in here, Vahu amr tisnachamu. So this Abraisa that says that he says you should be comforted. Hechidami. So what are we talking about this case? Are we talking about where the Kohen Gadol is being Menachem Avol, or someone is being Menachem Avol him? Ilema ki Menachem Achrini lididei Amar Luhu. I'm sorry. Ilema, if you're saying that it's talking about ki Menachem Achrini lididei, when others are being Menachem Avol, the Kohen Gadol, and he would answer back to them Amar Luhu Iyu, and he would say Tisnachamu, and he would say you should be comforted. So what happened? They come and they visit him to be Menachem Avolim, and he would say to them that you should be comforted. So he's saying to them, Nachsha Karami Luhu. He's giving them like a curse. Because why? He's saying that you must be, something's going to happen to you that you're going to need to be comforted. And so therefore it would be a bad thing if he says that to him. Ella, but rather, how should we understand the Braisa? Ki Menachem Lachrini, that when the Kohen Gadol would go be Menachem Avol others, Amrluhu, he would say to them, Tisnachamu, you should be comforted. Shema Amino. So we hear from here that this, in fact, is what the Kohen Gadol would say to others when he went to be Menachem Avol. Okay, so continuing with our Mishnah, we said, Melech lo don, that a king should not judge and should not be judged. Amr Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Lo shanu el malchi Yisrael, that this halacha, that a king shouldn't judge or be judged, it was only by Malchi Yisrael. Avo Malchi Beis David, Don V'Donin Oson. But Malchi, the kings of Beis David, would judge and be judged. Why is there a distinction? So first of all, the Malchi Yisrael is a reference to the ten Shvatim. In other words, because we had Yehuda and Binyamin, who were in the south. That's where the Beis HaMikdash was. And that was Malchus Beis David, at least through the Bais Rishon. And then the rest of the territory of Eretz Yisrael was the Malchi Yisrael. So it's saying this rule that that the king shouldn't judge or be judged is dafka by Malchi Yisrael, but not by Malchus Beis David. Why? The chsiv, because it's written, the pasuk says, Beis David, addressing Beis David, Kol Amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Dinu Laboker Mishpat. In the morning you should judge judgments. Meaning, there's a special mitzvah for Malchi Beis David to be judges. And once they're going to be judges, we know, as we're going to see again, although we had it earlier, once they're going to be a judge, then they also have to be judgeable. So therefore, because the Malchi Beis David had a special, because Malchi Beis David had a special commandment to judge, and therefore we're going to see in a moment to be judged, they're different. But Malchi Yisrael, when the Mishnah says that they shouldn't judge or be judged, it's going on Malchi Yisrael. And the Gemara just continues, V'ilo daininan le inu hechi daini. So he says, and if they can't be judged, how can they judge? V'haksiv, it's written, hiskoshu shuvakoshu. We had this before. V'amrei Shlakish, Reish Lakish explains, kishot atzmucha v'achach kach kishot achem, that you should you should adorn yourself or search yourself, and only afterwards you should search other people. So you see that a judge has, in order to be a judge, has to be judgeable. So we say that's the distinction between Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Beis David. So if the Gemara asks, Ela Malchus Yisrael, my time alone, why shouldn't the Jewish kings, why should the Malchus Yisrael not judge or be judged? Because there was a story that happened. The Avde, the Yanai Malka Katol Nafsha. That the servant of Yanai Malka, Yanai was the king, he killed someone. So Amalahu Shimon ben Shetach lechachamim. So Shimon ben Shetach said to the chachamim, Tenu einechem bo, v'nidoninu. That you should put your eyes onto him and you should judge him, meaning you should judge this Eved that belonged to Yanai the king. Shochulei, so they sent to Yanai the king, Avdecha Katol Nafsha. That your servant killed someone. So they brought Yanai to judgment. They said, your servant killed someone. Sadre Luhu. So the Yanai said, okay, fine. Here's the Eved. Go try him. Shochulei, they sent to him, Ta Ant Nami Lahacha, that you also have to come. It's not enough to send your Eved. Why? Because Vahuad Bibala of Amru Torah, that the pasuk says, "V'huah bebalav," you testify against the owner. But the way the Gemara is darshaning is the Gemara darshans it elsewhere. "V'huah bebalav," that he should become, that when you do the we're talking there by the sharamur, should be bebalav with the owners there. Yavo balashar v'yamad asharo, that the balashar should come and stand on his shar. And we know, so therefore we see that when the shar is being judged, its owner has to be standing nearby. And just like a shar is the property of its owner, so an eved is the property of its owner, and therefore they're saying that we learn from that same pasuk that when an eved is being tried, the owner has to be standing by. So they told Yanai Malka, you have to come there. So Asa, so Yanai said, fine. Asa, he came to Yosef and he was sitting there. So Amar Le Shimon Ben Shetach. Shimon Ben Shetach said, Yanai Hamelach, Yanai Amod Araglecha V'Yidu Becha, that you should stand on your feet. And we're going to testify against you. Now, Shimon ben Shetach obviously recognizes he's dealing with the king here, so he continues and says, you're not standing in our honor, you're not standing in front of us. You're standing in front of the one who said that the world should be, meaning the Rabbanu Shel Olam. He's saying the reason you're standing is because of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, because it says in the Torah, v'amdu shneha nashim asher lahem hariv, that the two people that have the argument will stand before him, and in fact, the pasuk there continues. The pasuk in the Devarim says, "V'amdu shnei anashim asher lahem hariv lifnei Hashem." So he says, "Stand before Hashem." So you see that the Shimon ben Shetach was telling Yana, "You have to stand up, not because of us, because you see the pasuk says they should stand lifnei Hashem." Amar lo. So at this point, Yana had enough. He's like, "You wanted my slave. You wanted me to come. Now you want me to stand up." Also, he says, "Maybe." He says, "Lo kishet tomer ata." He tells Shimon ben Shetach, I'm not going to do just like you say. Ela kemasha yomru chavarecha. If your peers on the court also tell me to stand up, fine, I'll stand up. But I'm not, you know, I've had enough at this point. So nifneli yamino, Shimon ben Shetach turned, where on Amud Beis now, nifneli yamino, he turned to his right. And he looked to the judges on his right. Kavshu paneim bekarka. They just like looked down. They didn't want to. Rashi says they were afraid. Shayirei mimena. They were afraid of Yanai. So nifna lasmolo. He turned to his left. Vekavshu paneim bekarka. They also were very busy looking at the ground. So meanwhile he had no support. Amar lahen Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach said to them, Bali machshavos atem. He says, you're Bala Machshavas, you're thoughtful people. Yavo Bala Machshavas a Yifra Michem. That, the Bala Machshavas, meaning the Rabbanu Shalom, should come and repay you for this, because they wouldn't stand up to Yanai. Miyad Ba Gavriel. Gavriel, the Malach, came v'chavtam b'karka and knocked them to the ground, umesu, and they died. But also Shah, at that time, Amru Melech loydon v'loydonin oso, lomeid v'lomeidin oso. They said that, therefore, at least as relates to Malchei Yisrael, who don't have a special pasuk telling them that they should be judges, that a king shouldn't judge or be judged, and a corollary, and he should not testify because that's considered, a genai for the king, and he should not testify against him for a different reason because there's no point in testifying against him since he can't be judged. So you may as well not testify. So therefore, that's how we came up with this idea that Malchei Yisrael, but Malchei Beis David, they should still judge because there's a special pasuk. Okay, we're about seven lines down. Lo cholets v'lo cholzin. that the melech should not do chalitza and he should not have chalitza done to his wife. Now, what were the reasons? We said that he shouldn't do chalitza, he shouldn't do yibam. What's the ganai? Because this is going to come up in a second. So the ganai by chalitza is, remember, if he does chalitza to his sister-in-law, she has to spit at him. That's not proper covered for a king. And the reason yibam is not proper, either simply, the Rishonim say, either simply because once he can't do chalitza, for the reason we just said, he can't do yibam either. The other reason why yibam itself is not proper respect for the king is the idea that the king is being hakim shem achiv. He's standing up the brother of his name. So he's doing an action subsidiary to his dead brother, and it's not proper covered for a king to do that. Okay. So any, So the Aini is actually going on what came after that. So I think it was Rabbi Yehuda who said that it is a zchus for him to do it. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Nosei HaMelech. Rabbi Yehuda said im ratza lachlitz eliyabim zacher letov, that if he wanted to do chalitz or yibum, he's remembered for the good, meaning it's a positive thing. So the Gemara asks, Aini, is that so that it's a positive thing? Va'amar Ravashi, Rashi says afilu l'man da'amar nasi shemachal kvodo. There's a machlokes whether a nasi, who was the head of the Sanhedrin, if he would be mochel on his coven, meaning he was willing to do something, even though it's somewhat of a gnai, that his coven will be mochel him. Melech shemochel akvodo ain't kvodo mochel. But yet, everyone agrees a nasi is a machlokes. But by a king, everyone agrees that even if the king is mochel on his coven is not mochel. And generally, the idea would be that the honor of a king is the honor of the people. So it's not his to give away. It's not his to be mochel. So shenemar, as it says, som tasim alecha melech. And from the double lashon som tasim, we learn that his covet is not mochel. Shetehei masa alecha, and that his fear should be upon you. So therefore, the question is, how can Rabbi Yehuda say zachur letov, that if a king wants to do chalitz or yibam mi zachur letov, but a melech can't be mochel on his covet? So the Gemara says, mitzvah shani, a mitzvah is different, because if according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he's performing a mitzvah, that's different. Then he's not being mochel on his own. In other words, the idea is that the kavod of the king is the kavod of the people, so he can't be mochel on it. But if it's a mitzvah in the Torah, so then it's for the Rabbanu Shalom, and then the kavod of the people would yield to the kavod of the Rabbanu Shalom, and therefore a king, as long if he's doing a mitzvah, would be able to do something even though it's a gnai. The Tanakama of Rabbi Yehuda would agree with this concept at some level, but there are limits to that, and this is the other side of the limit, that they would consider Yibum and Chalitza to be like an act of Gnai, and therefore even in B'makom Mitzvah you shouldn't do it. But that's the rationale for Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Ve'ein Nosin. We said that they should not that no one can marry the wife of a king, and Rabbi Yehuda had a different opinion. They know sin amanuso. Rabbi Yehuda says no se amelach amanuso shel melach. He says that a king can marry the aman of another king. So in other words, according to the first view, once someone's married to a king, she can't get married again, whether he dies or divorces her. Rabbi Yehuda says no, she can marry another king. Shekein Matzinu, he says in the Mishnah, Shekein Matzinu with David, we find with David Amel, Shenasa Amanuso Shoshol, that David Mela married the Amano Shol, Shenemer, because it says, Ve'et Nelecho is based Adonecho, that the Rabbanu Shalom said to David Amel, I gave you the house of your Adon, your master, meaning Shol Amelech, we ask Nashe Adonecho Bechekecho, and the wives of your master in your lap, meaning that Rabbi Yehuda says, you see that David HaMelech got Shaul's wives. So therefore, you see that a king, that a Amana or a Grusha of a king can marry another king. So now this Brisa has the Chazal's answer to Rabbi Yehuda's theory. Amru Lo'el Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yehuda, Nashim Haruyas Lo Mibeis HaMelech. It doesn't mean when it says the Nashe, when the pasuk says Nashe Adonecho Bechekecho, it doesn't mean literally the wives of the king. It means the women of the king, meaning that you can get those of Shaul HaMelech's women who are appropriate to you, but not the ones who are married to him. Umay ninu, who's that a reference to? Merav uMichal. Merav and Michal, who were daughters of Shaul HaMelech, who, as we'll understand in greater detail, one or both of whom became wives of David HaMelech. So he's saying, it's not that David HaMelech got Shaul's wives, he got Shaul's women, which were his daughters, and they weren't married. But according to Chachamim, even a king cannot marry another king's Amana or Grusha. Okay, Shaul Talmidav es Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi's Talmidim asked him, Heich nasa David shtei achoyes b'chayeyen. How did David marry two sisters? So we just finished saying that Merav and Michal, who were sons of Shaul, who were daughters of Shaul, became the wives of David HaMelech. How does David HaMelech marry two sisters? We know that a person cannot marry two sisters while one is still alive. Amar Lahan, he said, Michal achar misas Merav nasa. He says, you're assuming that he married them at the same time. It's not true. He married Merav, and after Merav died, he married Michal. So that's for sure allowed, because the Isser of Shtei Achoyes is only in their lifetime. Okay, so that's the first view. The view of Rabbi Yossi, that they were his wives sequentially, and he was married to both. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, and Rabbi Shua ben Karcha says, Kidushe toz hayelo b'merav. That, no, he never really married Merav. He only married Michal, because his marriage to Merav was a kedushei tol shenamar, because it says tinoes ishti es Michal asher rasti li b'mea arlois plishtim. So he brings the pasuk. Rav Shulman Karcha brings the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, which where David HaMelech says, "Give me my wife Michal, who I did erusin with in exchange for mea arlois plishtim, the foreskins of 100 plishtim." Because that was the story. We'll see it in a little more detail of what went on here. But in any event, Yeshua ben Karcha says that pasuk is a raya that he was only married to Michal and not to Merav. So my Talmuda, how do you learn from that a raya to the fact that Merav was kedushei taos? So Rav Papa says Michal ishti v'lo Merav ishti. So you see from that he refers to Michal as his wife. He doesn't refer to Merav as his wife, because again, what happened here was originally David HaMelech said, whoever is going to go out and fight Goliath, he's going to give them a reward and he's going to let them marry his daughter, and then he was going to marry Merav, and Shaul ended up giving away Merav to someone else, and then he said that if you go get me the foreskin of 100 plishtim, that he'll give him Michal. So in any event, you see that he refers to Michal as his wife. He does not refer to Merav as his wife. So you see that it must be that the first marriage, the one to Merav, was kedushei toz. So the Gemara says, "My kedushei toz. Why was it a kedushei toz? What's the idea that in order it seems that he married Merav?" The siv, because it's written, "Vahaya isha sheyakenu," the man who will kill Goliath, Yashrenu Amelech Osher Gadol, the king will make him very rich. So what happened? Azol Katle. So David Amelech said, "Fine," and he went and killed Goliath, as we all know. Armelo Milva Isli Gaboy Avamakdish B'Milva Enimakudashas. So what happened? So basically, Shaul owed David this great wealth, and the idea was that David was mochelet, he was mochelet in order to be mekadesh Merav. How does that help? Because Merav was a katana, and we know that if someone is a katana, her father can marry her off. So the idea was Shaul owed David this great wealth for having killed Goliath, and David was basically mochelet as the kiddushin for Merav. But the problem is that we learn Mahamakdish b'milva enu mekudeshes, that if someone is mekadesh a woman with a loan. So in other words, let's say a regular man lends a woman $1,000, then he says, you know what, you can keep it as kiddushin. We say that's not kiddushin. Why? If we remember back, because the Gemara explains that you're not giving him anything new, because milva loitzon, you give money to someone to to, you know, to spend. So therefore, the money that he owes back is not the same money. So when you say you could keep that money, it's, you're not, you haven't actually given anything new. You've just canceled the debt, but you haven't given something. So a makdish ben mova and a mukadeshes. So therefore, what happened? So David was mochel the money to Shaul in exchange for marrying Merav, but because he was makdish ben milva, because Shaul owed him money and he was mochel it. So therefore, it's not mukadeshes. So therefore, that was not a valid marriage to Merav. And so what did Shaul HaMelech do? Also Yoave Ladriel. So in the meantime, so Shaul decided that wasn't a valid kiddushin, and he married off Merav to Adriel. The pasuk continues and says that it was at the time that Shaul HaMelech was supposed to give Merav to David, he went and married her off to Adriel. So he says, so Amrle, so after Shaul went ahead and took Merav, who seemed to have gotten married to David, and gave her to someone else, Amrle, Ibayis the Asan the Eten Lechom Michal, if you want me to give you Michal, because now Merav, sorry, she's married to Adriel, if you want me to give me Michal, Zil, Isi Limea Arlois Plishtim. So that's when David said to, when Shaul said to David, go bring me the Arlois of 100 Plishtim, Azul Isi Le, so David Amelech went and brought them, fascinating issues over here, but in other words, the big questions about how he did that, the Mishnah Lamelech, in the context of learning something else, which maybe we'll have time to discuss, discusses how David took these Arlos while these people were still living. So I don't think they liked him too much. So Azol Isile, he brought them. Amrle, Milvo Pruti Isli Gaboy. So he said that he had a shawl. Again, a shawl, as you see from the psukim, had all these plans. He was trying to do away with David. He was trying to give his daughters so that the plishtim would end up killing David. But in any event, he said to him, "I have a milvam pruti isli gaboy islach gaboy, because I owe you money, and you've given me now the arlos. And so the idea is the arlos are worth at least a pruta." So he was saying, so, you know, you can be mekadesh her with the arlos and the money that you owe me. Shaul suffered. So Shaul was playing a game here. You see, he thought, his thought was, malve milve pruta daite am milve. That he said that even when you give, if you're trying to be mekadesh a woman with a milve, with a loan and a pruta, it's still not a valid kiddushin. Why? Because when a person says, I'm being mekadesh you with a loan of $1,000 and a pruta, what does he really have in mind? He's thinking the $1,000. And we just learned before that a mekadesh ben milva is an imekadeshes. So Shaul felt that even this kiddushin wasn't a valid kiddushin because Shaul still owed David the money, and David delivered the arlos, which were worth a pruta. So Shaul HaMelech held that even when someone gives a milva pruta, that's not a valid kiddushin. But David savar milva pruta daite a pruta. David felt that a milva and a pruta, that he does have das on the pruta, and therefore it is a valid kiddushin. So what do you see? You see that's why there was kiddush etos, that the kiddushin to Merav was not a kiddushin because it was a mekadesh ben milva and a mekadeshes. But in the case of that's why David was saying Michal is my wife, because there was a pruta aside from the loan. The Ibaisema alternatively could say the kule amo milvo pruta daite a pruta. Everyone agrees that it was a valid, that if someone gives a woman to be mekadisher $1,000 loan that he's mochel and a pruta, that's a valid kiddushin. But why in this case did Shaul think it wasn't a valid marriage? Shaul savar lo chazav lo midi, that the pruta, that the arlos aren't worth anything. What does someone do with 100 arlos? So therefore, that's not a pruta. But David savar, David holds chazi lekalbi v'shunri. You could feed it to the cats and dogs, so it's worth something. It's pet food. Okay, Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi, this whole thing we learned out about the kiddush etos, because David HaMelech said, give me Michal, my wife. And remember, Rabbi Yossi was of the opinion, he answered the question differently and said that, no, Merav died and then David HaMelech married Michal. So Merav, so Rabbi Yossi understood that there was a valid kiddushin with both of them. So what does Rabbi Yossi do with this pasuk? Hi, Tanas Ishti as Michal, my darish bay. So what does he do with this idea that David HaMelech said, Michal is my wife and not Merav? So Rabbi Yossi, Litaimei, Rav Yossi goes according to his reasons. The sign Rav Yossi hayadarsh mikros mu'uravin, that Rav Yossi would darshan mixed up sukkim. So the basic idea that Rav Yossi is going to say is that in the psukim, Meirav and Michal were interchangeable. So therefore, when he says, give me my wife Michal, it doesn't necessarily mean only Michal, and it could be he was married to both. Why? Because where do you see that they're interchangeable? Ksiv, because it's written, Vayikach ha-melcha shnei b'nei ritzpa bas aya asher yolda l'shol es admoni v'yas mefiboshes. And so it says that the king took the sons of Ritzpah, Benaya, Basaya, who she had to show, which was Admoni and Mephibosheth, his children, as Chameshes b'nei Michal, Asher Yodor la'Adriel ha'mechulasi, that and the five daughters of Michal that were born to Adriel. Now, for those who remember what we learned a minute ago, v'chila Adriel nitna. So was Michal given to Adriel? Was Michal married to Adriel? V'halal la'palti ben Laish nitna. But Shaul HaMelech, after David married Michal, that Shaul HaMelech, who held that a milva with a milva and a pruta is not a valid kedushin, went and married Michal to Palti ben Laish. So the chsiv, it's written, v'Shaul Nasan as Michal bas Eishes David, as Michal bito Michal, his daughter Eishes David, the wife of David, because it was a valid kedushin of Palti ben Laish. So you see that it talks about the five. It talks about the five sons that Michal had with Adriel. Now remember, Adriel is the one who Meirav got given to. After David tried to do Kiddushin with Meirav, so then Shaul gave Meirav to Adriel. So why does it say Michal had five children with Adriel? Michal was married to Palti ben Laish, not to Adriel. El makish Kiddushin Meirav l'Adriel, l'Kiddushin Michal l'Palti. So Michal marrying Palti was for sure invalid marriage because she was married to David HaMelech. So you see that the kiddushin of Meirav and Adriel was just like the kiddushin of Michal to Palti, ma kiddushin Michal to Palti ba'avera, just like that was an avera because she was the wife of David HaMelech, af kiddushin Meirav la'Adriel ba'avera. So too the kiddushin of Meirav to Adriel was an avera to say that he was married to both, because that was Reb Yossi's opinion that in both cases they were married. They were married to David HaMelech, and therefore it was a wrong thing to do. So when the pasuk says that the five sons of Michal to Adriel is because they were mixing the two stories to make this limud that they were both b'avera. But therefore, when it uses the word Michal or Meirav, it is somewhat interchangeable. So when it refers to the five sons of Michal that were born to Adriel, it's really a reference to Meirav. And so you were trying to bring a raya from the fact that David HaMelech referred to Michal as his wife, but not Meirav. But you see that they're somewhat interchangeable, and that's how Reb Yossi would understand. Reb Yeshua ben Karcha nami haksev es chameshes b'nei Michal bashol. What is Reb Yeshua ben Karcha, who does not learn that they were both married, and therefore obviously is not going to learn the fact that it says the five sons of Michal that were born to Adriel, is not going to learn that they're interchangeable because he held that he was only married to Michal, not to Adriel. Am lecha Reb Yeshua, v'chi Michal, So how do you deal with the fact that Michal didn't have these five sons with Adriel, Meirav did? So the Gemara explains, Meirav Yalda Michal Gidla, that Meirav gave birth to them, but Michal raised them. Lefikach Nikra Shma, therefore they're called on her name, Lamdacha to teach you, Shakala Magado Yasum Basakh Beso Mala Lava Kasakila Yalda, that if someone raises a Yasum in their house, it's as if they gave birth to them. So therefore when it says that Michal had five sons with Adriel, it's really a reference to Meirav. So why does it say Michal? Because she raised them. And we'll do very quickly, Rav Chanina, we're going to see the same concept a few times. Rav Chanina says, you see this idea that it's as if he raised them from a different pasuk. It says, Vatikrana lo hashchenos shame, lemar yulod ben lenami. That it says that the neighbors called the name, and they said, because a son was born to Naami. V'chi Naami yalda, did Naami have another child? V'halo Rus yalda, Rus is the one who had the child. So Ella Rus yalda v'Naami gidla, because Rus gave birth and Naami raised the child, and therefore it's considered as if it's a child of Naami. Lefikach nikra shma, it's called on her name, on Naami's name. Similar idea. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rehacher. Rabbi Yochanan says from here, v'ishto ha-Yehudis yalda es yered avigdor. It says the ishto ha-Yehudis. Who is this a reference to? This is a reference to Basia, the daughter of Paro. And it says, gave birth to Yered and Avigdor. Yered and Avigdor are Our names of Moshe Rabbeinu, which we'll see in a moment. Ela, b'nei Basia Bas Paro. So it says the Ishta Yehudis gave birth to this, and these are a reference to Basia Bas Paro, the children Asher Lokach Lo Mered, that Mered took. So Mered Zek Kalev. So Kalev is Mered. Why? V'lama Nekrishmo Mered. So the digression for a moment. Why is Kalev called Mered? Shemared Basas Meraglim. That he rebelled against the eights of the Meraglim, that he didn't join the Meraglim. V'chi Basia Yalda. But it says Basia gave birth to Yared, Avigdor, which are names of Moshe. Did Basia give birth to Moshe Rabbeinu? V'halo Yocheved Yalda. Yocheved gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. Halo Yocheved Yalda. Yocheved gave birth to Basia Gidla. Because we know that Basia raised Moshe Rabbeinu in the house of Paro. So the Lefikach Nikra Shema, it's called on her name. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Mehach, Rabbi Elazar says, I'm here. Go'alto Bezraya Amcho Beis Yaakov Be'Yosef Sela. He says, you redeemed with your outstretched arms, talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your nation, the sons of Yaakov and Yosef. V'chi Yosef Yalad, but did Yosef give birth to the nation? Mahalo Yaakov Yalad. Yaakov gave birth. Ela Yaakov Yalad Be'Yosef Kikel. Yaakov gave birth to the Shvatim, but Yosef fed them. Okay, Yosef fed them, and therefore, Lefikach Nikra Shmo, it's called on his name. Okay, well, and there, we'll pick up tomorrow, Mitzvah.
Friday, so do your best to clear the patio.